KETR presents Texas Scribes, featuring literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas. Today's selection comes from Mary of the Angels, read by the author, Dr. Mary Jane Hodges Vance.
Chapter 81, Mary of the Angels, Reality Descends. By July 1942, the reality of our situation enveloped me like the darkness imposed by the Japanese curfew. The usual celebrations we had enjoyed under the American governance, Memorial Day, Flag Day, the 4th of July, no longer existed. We had no holidays, period. There was no reason to celebrate. Reality kept me going. I had a husband imprisoned in Santo Tomas internment camp who needed supplies, a son in the U.S. Navy who was God only knew where, and six growing hungry children to feed, clothe, and educate because the public schools were closed. Catholic schools had opened their doors once again, but I dared not send the children. I had promised Jess to keep them together. Changes occurred daily. Our regular routines were disrupted. Speaking English in public was discouraged. Radio broadcasts were mostly propaganda and more rules and regulations. Missing from the musical selections were familiar tunes like God Bless America, Over the Rainbow, Three Little Fishes, When You Wish Upon a Star, and You Are My Sunshine. Only some Filipino popular tunes and Japanese language lessons were allowed. We sometimes heard rumors but dared not repeat them. Those who did were arrested and punished for passing on information favorable toward the American military effort. Invisible fifth columnists could be anywhere. These invisible spies might be neighbors or former acquaintances. They would report their own family members to the Japanese to get money or food. I reminded the children if they had to speak while in church or while going with me to Santo Tomas to use either Spanish or Tagalog, as it irritated Japanese soldiers when someone spoke English. We all learned to speak enough Japanese in order to greet the Japanese sentries posted at each corner with Ohayo or Konbanwa and thank them with Arigato once we were allowed to continue. We were fingerprinted and registered to our restricted area called City of Manila, Neighborhood Association for San Juan. Our dated and numbered identification card, bearing our left thumbprint along with our given name, maternal or maiden name, surname, neighborhood association number 8-4-4, occupation, age, sex, and the list of visible marks must be carried and presented when stopped for inspection. Each neighborhood association was assigned a leader, whose signature was affixed on each card along with our signature. Our assigned leader was Seferino Alon, a Filipino who was a Japanese sympathizer. I claimed Spanish citizenship to keep my children with me and used Mary Cucuyo Gamero on the neighborhood card. Mary Gamero Cucuyo was listed on my alien certificate of registration, Spanish, with my married name not listed in order to avoid being questioned by the Japanese. Being caught without your card meant being arrested and severely punished. Annual renewal of registration was required, and a fee was charged each time. To keep from sinking into a deep depression, I kept the children and myself busy by assigning chores. Items we owned were collected to sell to friends and family members to have cash to buy food at the marketplace. Sometimes family members and friends gave me items they needed to sell, but feared being away from their homes or being questioned by the Japanese. I would sell their items and take a percentage as my commission. With this small business going on the side, when I was not busy preparing items for Jess to have in Santo Tomas, I was able to make enough commission to buy a little food. Keeping busy and praying helped me keep my sanity. The children were assigned house and garden duties. Junior worked regularly in our small garden to grow vegetables. He planted camotes, which are sweet potatoes. They never had a chance to produce yams, as I would snip the broad, shiny, dark green leaves to cook with dried fish called tinapa, or an occasional fresh fish from our pond. He also planted leafy greens, kangkong, which is a spinach, and pechay, or bok choy, from which I made a dish called tailylong. This dish became a staple at our table and around our area. Peping helped him plant kamotinkahoy, or cassava, sitaw, green beans, and talong, eggplant. We already had bamboo growing by the back fence. The tender shoots, labong, were edible when cooked in coconut milk. Peping acted as helper, advisor, and supervisor. He had the experience to make the garden a success. Lucy was put in charge while I was away from the house, either gathering or selling items. Emma and Mary Jane, along with Junior, cared for the turkey hen we had raised as a pet, plus the geese, four ducks, and the billy goat, which Pilar and Tony had left with us. This helped to provide eggs to go with the vegetables. Lenny, the baby, was fed the turkey egg every day. There was no fresh milk for her. It was for the Japanese military. We had a few cans of powdered milk Jess and I had managed to hide. The brand name was Clem. I still remember the radio commercial. Drink Clem. That is milk, spelled backwards. We were fortunate to have several fruit trees around our house. Mango, guava, banana, papaya, santol, and duhat trees provided much fresh fruit in season. We took the young shoots from the base of the banana trees that grew by the kitchen stairway, chopped them finely, and cooked them in coconut milk to make a filling dish. By adding rice, we could keep from starving.
You've been listening to Texas Scribes. Today's selection from Mary of the Angels was read by the author, Dr. Mary Jane Hodges Vance. Texas Scribes features literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas and can be heard each Friday morning on KETR.